If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me? How's that for a sermon? Kissers or cleavers? Let's go to John chapter 15 and verse 15, and my brother stole the scripture, so it means we're all on the same page. John 15, 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known to you. And then let's turn to Proverbs chapter 17 and 17. Let's all read this one together. Proverbs 17, 17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Would you do, we've never done it this way before, but could we do it today? What I want you to do is I want you to place your hand on your heart. I want to pray for you. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Protect these hearts and only let the Word of God come in. Father, minister your love through this sermon. Anoint my heart, anoint my lips, that I might bring forth a message that is fit for your service. That I might honor you as King, that this people might learn more of you, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Jesus got closer to the crowds, and then at the same time, he got further from the crowds. He got closer to the cross, and at the same time, he got further from the crowds. And so, as he drew closer to the cross, he got further from the big crowds, he drew nearer to his disciples. In John 15, 15, Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore because you've come to the place now where instead of being called a servant, I'm going to call you friends. Why was it that Jesus needed friends? Why was it so important to call them his friends? I want you to know he needed friends the same as all of us need friends. He needed friends because he knew his time was coming when he was to suffer and he didn't want to suffer alone. Proverbs 17, 17 says, a friend loveth at all times. Let's all say that together. A friend loveth at all times. Let's say it again. A friend loveth at all times. Let's do it again. A friend loveth at all times. This means all times. It means through thick and through thin. Jesus understood the word friend because he called Abraham his friend. Why is this so important? Jesus was looking for someone he could trust with the most important thing in the world. Jesus was looking for someone that he could entrust with the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that until he had some people who were his friends, who were friends to one another, he could not trust them with the Holy Spirit. That is the rise or the fall of the church. The rise or the fall of a church is not in great preaching. The rise or the fall of the church is not in a great building. The rise or the fall of a church is not in great programs. The rise or the fall of the church is not in great singing. The rise or the fall of the church is not in great organizing. The rise or the fall of the church is not in great evangelistic crusades. I want you to listen to me today, church. The rise or the fall of a great church is, can we be friends? Can we be friends? That's what it's all about. There are only two types of people in a church, kissers or cleavers. Look at Ruth chapter 1. And verse 14. This is a beautiful book for you to read when you get home today. A little short book, four chapters is all. Ruth chapter 1, and I want to look at verse 14. It says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. Naomi went into Moab with her husband and two sons. She went into Moab. The word Moab means the accursed place. She left Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah means the house of bread and praise. She left the house of bread and praise and went into the accursed place. Her husband Elimelech died there. Her sons, Chilion and Mahlon, both died there and left her with two daughters-in-law. One was a kisser, the other one was a cleaver. One's name was Ruth, the other's name was Orpah. I want you all to say the name Orpah. Orpah. Now, I don't know if you know it, but Oprah Winfrey, when Oprah was born, her mother wanted to name her Orpah. Instead, she misspelled it and it came out Oprah. So, I want to show you today what happens. Everyone say, I'll never forget Orpah. Orpah's name means wash basin or a little pot. Little pot. Orpah knew how to kiss. Orpah knew how to cry. And she knew how to say, bye-bye. She knew the right words. She knew how to be emotional. She knew how to say all the right words. But when it came right down to being a friend who loves at all times, she left. When it came down to being a friend who is good in adversity and hard times, all she could say was, bye-bye, so long. I love you, but... Then there was Ruth. Look at verse 14 again, Ruth chapter 1. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave to her. There's kissers and there's cleavers. Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law left and is going back to her old gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or from following after thee. And then she said, whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. In other words, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to see you through to the very end. If you had been traveling with Naomi and Ruth in those days, maybe a temptation would have come into your heart and you would have said, what am I doing along here, going along here with Naomi? She left the house of bread and praise. She left it for Moab, the accursed place. Is she really in the will of God? Now, I want you to see something today, church. If you're a friend, you're going to stick with the people you love. You're not going to kiss and leave. You're going to stick it out. When they go through hard times, you're going to go through it with them. When they go through good times, you're going to go through it with them. A lot of times things happen. Things happen all the time that we don't understand. We can't explain them. God will not allow you to know some of these things because what he wants you to do is he wants you to learn to trust him implicitly and never charge him foolishly. The way God tests us is he tests our relationship one with another. This was a test that Ruth had. Ruth, are you going to leave me? She said, no, I'm going to cleave to you. Now, I want you to see that in the case of Ruth leaving with Naomi, there are seven reasons, seven beautiful rewards that God gives you if you will stick it out and be a friend to the end. Number one, Ruth got to go to the right place. How many of you want to end up in the right place? How many of you want to end up in heaven? Anybody here that doesn't want to? You can opt out today. Ruth went from the accursed place to the house of bread and praise. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God, but I want you to know we need to admit it and we need to quit it. Number two, she got to meet the right man. She got to meet the right man. Now, what happens, I think, a lot of times is we try to over spiritualize the scriptures. But I want you to know that Ruth, because of what she does, ends up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Because she was a cleaver, she ended up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. God took a little girl from the accursed place because she became a friend and introduced her to the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer's name was Boaz, so she met the right man. She went down to his fields to glean grain and that would fall to the ground, and he saw her, and God's anointing was upon Boaz. God's blessing was on Boaz. Blindness was not on Boaz. He knew what he saw. He said, "Who is that young lady out there gleaning?" Now, I want you to hear me today, church. There are people in your life that you aren't going to meet unless you're the right friend. You break covenant, and you won't come in contact because God won't let it happen. See, if you're a friend at all times, if you cleave at all times, God will introduce you to certain friends. But if you do not cleave, if you are a kisser and a leaver, what happens is that these people will never come across your path. Boaz was the richest man in town. I want you to know there probably would have been hundreds of girls gleaning in the fields, and God had him stop and see one of them. Was it just because she was pretty? I don't think so. People ask questions like this all the time. Why are some people promoted and why are other people demoted? Why are there some that seem like they can never get ahead? Why did God allow this little girl to be lifted up out of all the rest of them? Why? The answer is in the third reward. She had the right reputation. He said, "It's been reported unto me that what you have done for your mother-in-law, it's reported unto me that you have a covenant relationship with your mother-in-law." She had the right reputation. See, the first time Boaz meets her, he says, "It's been reported unto me that you have a covenant relationship with Naomi." That's what he had heard first. How many of you know a good name is better to be had than great riches? Today, we look at all of our leaders, and I don't know if any of them have a good name. I don't know if they have a good reputation. But Boaz says, "I've heard about you. I've heard all about you. I know who you are." He says, "Your reputation precedes you. And because of that, you're going to be faithfully rewarded. Because you've sowed in faithfulness, you were a faithful friend, your reward is certain, and you can bank on that." In the church today, pastors and Christians have never been held in such low esteem ever as we are in today's day and age. It's a great thing on television to make fun of Christians, to make fun of pastors. It's never been that low before. A good name And a good reputation is better to be had than anything in the world. I want you to know there really is a difference between kissers and cleavers. And until the test comes, you really won't know what you are. Now, I want you to understand, if you have a friend, it's going to be tested. You can say, I'll be a cleaver, but you may be a kisser. Just kiss and say, so long, I don't want any part of this. We all are going to be tested, and we don't know what we're going to be like until we are tested. You may vacillate a little bit. Peter did. But if you're a cleaver and not a kisser, you'll go out and weep bitterly and then come back. Every relationship is going to be tested. Every relationship. And there is no one perfect in this world. How many of you are perfect? Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? You have no more of Jesus in your life than you have with your relationship with your friends. You have no more Jesus in your life than you do in a relationship with your friends. See, Ruth had a great reputation. Ruth wasn't a fair weather friend. That's what's happening today in the world. There's fair weather friends. We come for a little while and help people out, and then we leave them. Number four, the fourth reward that she had was she knew how to make the right move at the right time. She knew how to make the right move at the right time. When you get home tonight or this afternoon, read Ruth, all of Ruth, but especially chapter 3. It's a great chapter. Naomi gives Ruth some advice. She said, tonight when Boaz goes to sleep, go down to the threshing floor, uncover his feet, and lay down at his feet. That was the advice of Naomi to Ruth. Here's that relationship again. Naomi and Ruth. Ruth says, I'll cleave to you. I'll never leave you. And so Naomi starts giving her advice so that now she's going to be able to come to the right place. Out of that relationship, a right move is made. The right move is made at the right time. So Ruth says to Boaz, you are my kinsman redeemer. We use that term, we have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our kinsman redeemer. The law in that time was called the Levirate Law, the Levirate Marriage. And that is, the next in line among kinfolk took a widow into his house and raised up children to her. That was Old Testament. Boaz said, I can do this. I can redeem you. But there's somebody a little closer than me. And as soon as I take care of that, there's no one closer than what I will be to you. So Ruth made the right move at the right time. How many of you know there is a right time to make a right move, and there's also a wrong time to make a wrong move? We need to know the difference. You and I need to know when to make the right move at the right time. Number five, she got the right harvest or the right blessing. Her harvest was that she got to marry Boaz. She married the richest man in town. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it adds no sorrow with it. God wants you to be blessed today. God wants you to be blessed more than you want to be blessed. If when the wind blows and it's unpopular to preach that God wants you to be blessed, I'll still be telling you God wants you to be blessed. I'm telling you that Ruth sowed in faithfulness and she reaped a harvest. She wasn't out there anymore as this little maiden picking up grain that the reapers had left behind. She wasn't out there doing that anymore. She was queen of the house. She owned the fields. See, God will give that to you if you will obey what he says. God says, I'll set you above, not under. She owned the fields. It was all hers. She didn't have to go out anymore and glean. Number six, the reward that Ruth had is she got the right son. She birthed the right thing out of her life. See, you and I are birthing things all the time out of our lives. We're birthing relationships. We're birthing friendships. You're going to birth something out of your life after walking with the Lord. She was able to birth the right thing here. The reward was that she had a son by the name of Boaz. She birthed the right child. Number seven, out of friendship, you'll have the right kind of remembrance. Obed begat Jesse. Jesse begat David. David begat Solomon. And if you follow it all the way down, Jesus is in the genealogy. When we talk about Ruth the Moabitess, we talk about a lady who, through the right relationship, through friendship, got to the right place. She met the right man. She made the right move. She got the right blessing. And she ended up with the right kind of reputation. She birthed the right child. But thousands of years have passed. Thousands of years have passed. What kind of a remembrance do we have of Ruth? The remembrance that we have of Ruth is that she is in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. What's going to be said of you 10 years from now? What kind of remembrance is going to be had of you? Are you a kisser or are you a cleaver? Ruth is known because she cleaved. She was cleaving to Naomi, her mother-in-law. What we need is we need to have the right reputation, the right remembrance. Let me ask you something today. What are you going to be remembered for? If I die this year, what am I going to be remembered for? If you die this year, what are you going to be remembered for? What do you want them to put on your tombstone? See, the Lord has a book of life. What do you want to have written in that book of life? Are you a cleaver like Ruth, or are you a kisser like Orpah? If you're a cleaver like Ruth, you will be remembered because you've had the right blessing upon your life, the right whatever. But when it comes to Orpah, go out and ask somebody that you know that goes to church, who was Orpah? Who was Orpah? Orpah was a kisser. Now I'm sure today you'll never, ever, I hope, forget who Orpah was. Matter of fact, let's all say it. I'll never forget Orpah. I'll never forget Orpah. Say it again. I'll never forget Orpah. Repeat after me, I'm going to be one or the other. I'm going to be a kisser or I'm going to be a cleaver. I'm going to be a friend or I'm going to be a foe. I'm going to be one who tells the truth or one who lies. What are you going to be, a kisser or a cleaver? I'm sure for Orpah, when she went back, everybody was so happy to see her. But she knew in her heart she was a kisser. She was with Naomi. She could have stayed. God would have blessed her. We, each one of us, have a choice in friendships. What does friendship mean to you? Do you stick with a friend through thick and thin, or are you just let them go. Kiss them and say, so long. We need to stick closer than a brother. We need to have friends. The mark of a true and a great church is, can we be friends? Jesus said, I don't call you servants anymore. I call you a friend. You and I are friends today. If I've stepped on your toes, I hope you still love me. But we're either a kisser or we're a cleaver. Where do you stand? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that every person here would pass this test when it comes, that they would either be a kisser or a cleaver, and I pray that it would be that they would be a cleaver, that they would stick with their friends through thick and thin. Lord, that they wouldn't just pack up and walk out. Father, you've given me this message, and I pray that I've done honor to you through it. Lord, I want this people to see that there are the rewards of the cleavers, that every person here that's a cleaver is going to reap a reward. Father, I pray that the decision would be made today to be a cleaver and not a kisser. Father, help us to be friends one with another. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you all. Go and hug somebody and tell them, I want to be a cleaver. Tell your spouse that. Tell your friends that.